sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. I have good news. There's a new 9/11 film in the works. It's called Confession of a 9/11 Conspirator, and the filming begins this year and will be available for the worldwide premiere on September 11th, 2012. Some of the actors in the film will be Ed Asner, Martin Sheen, Woody Harrelson, Daniel Sunjata, John Hurd, Michelle Phillips, Joseph Culp, Paul Cross, Nick Mancuso, and Judd Nelson, with many more still to be cast. Today I'm going to be interviewing Howard Cohen of the group Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth. Howard wrote the script and is producing the movie. Howard Cohen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me here tonight.
Now, I understand you're a member of Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the 9/11 Truth movement and a little bit more about your background?
Well, I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico in February of 2006, and I met some people in the lobby of the Marriott Courtyard Hotel who started telling me about a website that I should check out. And this was one of the earlier 9/11 Truth websites, and I was in town there because I had moved from Washington, D.C. in Florida. I was doing business with a former business partner with Governor Richardson on some, I guess, infrastructure-type projects. But I had a lot of time, and I spent the next 2 years checking out everything I could. It's contagious. Once you see what the truth is, or at least what's not the truth, it's contagious. And I got hooked, and I just started reading and listening and trying to figure it all out, and came to a conclusion about 2 years after that everybody wanted a new investigation. And David Ray Griffin, who I understood was one of the most respected of the research advocates, said the best way to get a new investigation is simply to disprove the former investigation. And that's really always been my thrust. I'm not a speculator. I don't know really what happened. I wouldn't even want to speculate. But I could tell you a lot of stuff that didn't happen that they printed in those official books that people believe but are not true. That's the theme of our movie, too.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your movie, the title, and then what it's all about.
Well, I envisioned what would happen if people walked over to their TV and turned on C-SPAN, and there for 2 hours they're watching a new investigation of 9/11. So I started to write the transcript, if you think of it that way, of what I'd be watching on TV. I'm not a professional writer or a screenwriter. I just tried to organize the facts, make the conversations brisk, and drive the points. And one thing led to the next, and it's been a long time. I moved out of New Mexico. I went to Davis, California for a year. There were some people in the local Davis 9/11 Truth group that supported what we were doing and put me up. And it was during that time that I learned that David Griffin was forming a group called Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth. And since he and I had been working together for well over a year, I was always intimate on what new developments were happening. And I said to him, well, this is going to come in very handy one day when we get this movie script and everything else organized. So when I came to Los Angeles, which is now about 15 months ago, my first job was to finish the script and then to bring it to Ed Asner, who was the head of the Actors and Artists group, the titular spiritual spokesperson, fill in the blank. And within 10 minutes, he had his Rolodex out, and he was giving me Martin Sheen's phone number and John Hurd's and all of these other actors that are, you know, the kind of people that we wanted to have in the movie and many of who are going to be in it. Somewhere along the line, I convinced the people that since I'm making this movie, it would probably make all of us better in the eyes of the public if Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth, in a sense, produced it under the auspices of the Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth group. There's no financial involvement. I used to publish many years ago concert programs for Carnegie Hall in New York, and we always used to put on a certain number of concerts under the auspices of Carnegie Hall. So it sort of gives it the official umbrella of the Actors and Artists group, which along the way we all decided would probably serve us better if I took the title of executive director. So when I do mailings to people or anything, you know, I look at it from the group's perspective.
And maybe you can tell us in this movie, who are some of the actors that have agreed to be part of it?
Ed Asner plays the chairman of the investigation. Daniel Sinatra plays an attorney from the Justice Department who's on the investigative panel. We have other people. There are five people on the panel. There are witnesses that appear just as they did at the 9/11 Commission. One particular witness panel might have the fire chief that I mentioned, which is Martin Sheen. We have other actors like Woody Harrelson's going to play David Griffin. We're talking with the various people. We have, let's see, Judd Nelson, Mancuso, John Hurd, about 10 people already committed, and probably another 10 that we still have been waiting to choose because it all started to come together very quickly, and we had a lot of work that had to be done to prepare for the movie, and we didn't know who would be coming out in the sense of making themselves more public as a supporter of 9/11 Truth. I mean, there are people we'd still like to get involved, like Mark Ruffalo, who's very outspoken, especially about why the buildings or how come the buildings came down the way they did. Any actor that's involved with the movie or with our website, with our group, has signed a petition that says we want a new investigation of 9/11. I'm sure you're aware of how dangerous that can be in this culture.
Right.
We have a local politician up in San Francisco named Van Jones, who was actually brought on board to run the green jobs out of the White House for President Obama. And the Fox News people became aware that he had signed a petition in front of a farmer's market or something once years ago, as many people have, innocently, not innocently, but, you know, knowing what they're signing, but not thinking it's going to cost you your job at the White House. They announced on Thursday, and by Saturday, he had to quit his job at the White House. So that's how the pressure could be. So we think that everyone who's in this movie, people who are participating in the move to get the truth out, are really very patriotic pioneers. You know, we're looked at as the crazy people with the aluminum foil hats, but the bottom line is we're really trying to keep the country together. Everyone else doesn't seem interested enough, and it's going down a path, which I'm sure you and your viewers know, is not very healthy for freedom.
No, I agree with you. They're quite courageous people who put their careers on the line to take a stand. And it's quite a list.
In any medium, I mean, not only in the mediums of the media, I should say, but, you know, professionals, firefighters, lawyers, religious leaders, you know, there's a dozen or more groups that are prominent in this move to bring the truth out.
Right. And you have such a powerful list of cast members. I mean, that show's going to get a great deal of attention, I'm sure. Have you started filming the movie yet?
No, we're looking to film it in March. We're trying to finalize certain arrangements. We have two major directors in the sense of one of them is a French director who's a group member, Matthew Kasovitz, who's coming in next week to talk to us. And the other is a local director who's actually directed 300 episodes of General Hospital over the past 20 years. And amazingly enough, this man shoots as many pages of script as they refer to it in a day as most people do in a week or two. So we have a good opportunity to make a good film, make it as inexpensively as possible, get it out to as many people as we can in the shortest amount of time.
And how do you plan on distributing it? I noticed something about you're going to be showing it in May in the Cannes Film Festival. Did I get that right?
Well, what we're doing about Cannes, I never know what's the right way to say it. I'm from Brooklyn, but not Massachusetts, New York. What we're looking to do, we're not looking to enter into that festival because you need to have a completed film by the middle of March. But simultaneous, there's something called the Marché de Film, which is where the buyers actually come to do business, and people like myself or our distributors and people rent a theater within a certain complex of theaters that's connected right with the Cannes Film Festival, and they show the film and take the orders. And what we're looking to do is possibly come out on an international basis on next 9/11 as a TV movie special, as one of the ways of reaching tens of millions of people potentially.
Wow. Do you think that's possible? Do you think that any media outlets will take that in the United States and run with it?
Well, the U.S. probably be more cautious, but one of our actors, Nick Mancuso, suggested several months ago we get in touch with a company in Toronto that is a TV production company that also does distribution of films and across all of the venues, including theatrical release and DVD, etc. And we've held conferences with them, we've visited with them, and they basically proposed that they would be able to sell this into these international markets. Their ideas for the U.S., right now would be to attempt to get somebody like HBO or one of the cable stations involved, but if that didn't work, the fallback would be to go to local stations. The U.S. market, quite frankly, I don't think is going to be open to this because it's so corporately run that it's going to be hard for us to get good reviews, even if we got newspapers that liked the movie, the editors would tell him, you know, don't say anything good about that movie. You know, it's unpatriotic to question the official story. Daniel Ellsberg came out with an article in the news recently where he said that. He says he understands from journalists that always took his articles, always took his information, published him, they won't go near anything to do with 9/11. It's 9/11 or your job, you know?
Right.
Which one do you want?
Right. And most of us don't have the luxury to choose the one we'd really like to take.
It's you know, it's very life-threatening in that regard. I mean, if your livelihood and if you get fired because, you know, you did something your editor didn't want, eventually the reason comes out and the next guy's going to be afraid. You know, it's the whole problem with whistleblowers. They do courageous things and then no one wants to hire them because they're afraid they're going to blow the whistle on them one day.
Right, right. And you seem like you've put a lot of energy into this movie. Sounds like it's taken you quite a while to write the script and, you know, you're going to be getting the actors and putting it all together. Why is it so important to you to get the truth of 9/11 exposed?
Well, it's important for me to let people know that what they've been told is not the truth. I mean, that's the first step, as I said earlier. And I think the importance to me personally is just my own experiences. As I learned how I've been deceived, it made me feel at least if I'm going to live in a charade, let me know what's going on. So I think if we don't have a new investigation, you know, I don't expect the movie by itself to do it, but if it doesn't materialize as quickly as we might like, or here in this country even, at least people will understand that, you know, this is the world you're living in. This is why the government's doing the things they are, why they're passing laws that take away the rights of the citizens. I mean, look at this new bill that they put out, everyone talks about a couple of weeks ago, where the Senate and everybody, and I think the president signed it, where they could arrest you and put you in a detention center. Now, I think that people are paranoid and think that's going to happen to everybody who walks down the street who thinks about 9/11. I don't think it's that extreme yet, but it sets a precedent.
Right, and then you don't get a lawyer, and the habeas corpus is gone in that situation for American citizens.
And the posse comitatus is gone, where the military never had the right to do anything on our soil. Now they got something, I think it's just like they have CENTCOM or something in the Middle East. They have NORTHCOM or something in the States here. I mean, if you just open up your door and look at your local SWAT guy, the police forces are being supplied lots of money, not to put on guys to walk in the neighborhood, but to buy tanks, to buy weapons for riot control. I mean, they're setting up a situation where the occupation, Wall Street, and the other cities that have happened this year, in 2 or 3 years, that could be completely obliterated. They won't even stand for it. They'll just start shooting the water hoses and the rubber bullets and whatever else they have to do to squelch it.
Right. It is pretty frightening. If people want to follow the progress of your movie, is there a website they can go to? Or?
Well, if they go to the Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth website.
And that's Actors and Artists for 9/11Truth.com?
Actors and, with the word A-N-D, not the aspirant, but Actors and Artists for 911Truth.com. We have some stuff on the front page, you know, telling people what it's about. We're actually still always looking for donations so we can get more things accomplished. That would be the best place to go, but we're starting, and Cliff is helping with this, to get out to the other websites that attract the same kind of readership.
Mm-hmm.
And we are also going to go into the main, once the film starts filming, we have a major program. As each actor comes in to play his role, we want to tape him on why he's there, what his role represents to him, and start to tease people on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and let them know what's coming. The truth is coming.
That's really great.
Or the untruth is coming.
Right, yeah. That's really great. Now, when the film is all done, can people get a copy of it, or will it only be shown on television? And
oh, no. Actually, it'll be full blast wherever we can get it out to people. One of the things in this donation program, if people put in $25 donation, they get a DVD. But we're looking to put it out as quickly as we can on what they call video on demand, like iTunes and such. We think there's a tremendous opportunity with grassroots marketing and working through all kinds of socially active groups who want to learn more about the subject matter. It'll be made available in DVD. It may or may not have theatrical release. It depends on the economics of it. You would be very surprised. They all say you have to have a theatrical release and then you sell it to TV. I'm kind of a backwards guy. I'm doing it in reverse. I think if it goes on TV and people have heard it about it or want to see it again, they'll go to the theater to see it or buy a rental or a DVD online. I'm looking for eyeballs. We want eyeballs. And if you can get into 100 markets of international distribution, which would more than cover the cost of the movie, and you can reach tens and hundreds of thousands of people potentially in each of these countries to watch that night. It's Tuesday, by the way, next year, or this year. then I think you reach, it becomes part of our movement's responsibility to get more people to want to watch it. I mean, there's places all over the world where people are active in 9/11, and if the word comes out, this is a movie that really simply explains all the things that you need to know. This is what could happen on the first day of a new investigation, because the evidence is all here. We're hoping to create that groundswell.
Yeah, it sounds really awesome. And it sounds like with the actors involved that you have a lot of connections with the people who may be able to make that happen. So that's really great.
Well, that was always the premise. I wasn't going to do this if I didn't do it at a level where the actors were well-known enough that people would tune in for the actors. Because when you see somebody you recognize, and for whatever the reason is, a show, a movie, a movement, whatever they've done before, and they're speaking on the subject, and people know that, you know, this is a position of jeopardy they take by coming out so publicly. The distributor says, you know, you've got a $200,000 movie with $1 million cast. So it makes it easier for them to sell into these TV markets and also into the theaters around the world.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I stress the $200,000 because under certain contracts that we have to have with the unions here in Hollywood, if you spend up to $200,000 on a film or less than $200,000 on a film, you only have to pay the actors $100 a day. And if you know how much money actors make for Ed or Marty or Woody or some of these other people, $100 doesn't even cost the car fare.
Right.
So they're all doing it for the cause, not for the cash.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, if the listeners wanted to get more involved in 9/11, particularly in this area where we live in the Connecticut area, do you have any recommendations or suggestions for them?
Well, I've been outside of the Northeast for many years, so I don't know all the activity there. I have been in touch with this gentleman, Ted Walter, who's running the NYC CAN program, and I think that's connected to the Building Watt program. They've been trying to raise money to put out some new TV commercials where they're going to try to use some of the same actors we have in the film. I know there was an initiative recently in Massachusetts. This former Senator Mike Gravel was trying to get a state like Massachusetts to hold a referendum. It didn't go very far, but there should be a lot of people that were made aware of it in Massachusetts. I guess the best place people can go right now is the Internet, because if you can find the right sites, and I say the right sites because even some of the ones that were right a couple of years ago aren't so right anymore. It's a lot of infiltration and disinformation being put out to keep people who want to know the truth confused or running down wild goose chases. But if you can locate groups like Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truths, architects and engineers, firefighters, military officers, you'll get the closest of what you can get to the truth. So those organizations represent professionals. Like, I work with a lot of these military officers down in San Diego. I mean, these are guys that are naval commanders, lieutenant colonels who flew interceptor jets and can tell you how impossible it was for NORAD not to get them up there on time to even take a shot at one of the planes. I mean, part of the thing that we do in the movie is we show how much of an insult these official reports are to our intelligence.
Yeah, and you had mentioned to me earlier about Lincoln Chafee, the governor of Rhode Island. Maybe you could tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, when I first learned last year, two things almost simultaneously. One, that there was going to be this effort to try to get a state to have a local statewide referendum to have a statewide investigation of 9/11. I also learned that of the 26 states, Rhode Island was not one of those. But on January 1st of last year, he was sworn in as the governor of Rhode Island. I know he served previously as a senator. And in between those two official jobs, he was actually going to be one of the investigators in New York City on the New York City CAN program's proposed investigation. So my feeling immediately was, well, why don't someone just get in touch with them and ask them if we can figure out a way to do something in Rhode Island? Because there are people affected, well, everyone's affected by 9/11, but I'm sure there were people who lost their lives that had roots in Rhode Island or family there or, you know, businesses that suffered as a result. So it's been a year and nobody's really moved on it, which is, you know, one thing I criticize about some of the people who want to be leaders in this movement but don't really lead. I'm hoping maybe some of your listeners in that area will pick up on this. I'm available to talk to anybody to give them some direction. Unfortunately, I'm 3,000 miles away, and I'm trying to make a movie, so I can't do this myself right now.
But I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
It's your best shot. You know, in that part of the world, it's the best shot going because the guy understands the matters. When you tell a guy, look, you came out for this. Here's it on paper. You were willing to be on this. Now you're the governor. One of two things has to happen. He has to say, you know, you're right. I'll try to figure out how we can do an investigation here in the state. or he says, well, you know, I'm elected now, I can't touch it, then what you say to him is, look, I think everyone in Rhode Island needs to know that you were going to be on that investigative panel. So it's up to the public, you know, in a nice way, not in a guerrilla fashion where they, you know, throw, excuse me, I'm laughing, where they throw, you know, water balloons at him or something, but in a professional way, getting people of Rhode Island to realize that they have a governor who is very unique, that he sees the need for new investigation.
Right, yeah, that's an excellent idea.
People in Massachusetts can bust themselves in on the weekends and they can go in front of farmers markets, I use that as a metaphor, and collect signatures for petitions or do whatever they have to. It's a small state. Even the media can be reached at if they will run something, but they can be reached at a reasonable rate.
Right. Now, Howard, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you'd want to share with the listeners?
Well, let's see. I just do things spontaneously. I think if we try to label this movie as anything, I always felt it could become a 9/11 truth's weapon of mass instruction. House parties, you know, after the election, before the election. I mean, we're putting into this movie a very interesting concept, two interesting concepts. One, obviously, this is the new president, whoever that might be. There's no name mentioned, but just to give it to your listeners, it's going to be a woman. So we know it isn't either of the guys who are going to be running in 2012. And she has been a president who ran, recently got elected on a platform of promising a new investigation. And so what we're using is the concept of an Amnesty for Truth program, because there are a lot of people who have been living with the burden of something they might have done on or around 9/11 that they thought they were just doing as part of their job and didn't realize that what they were doing has actually contributed to this great tragedy, which most people think is a false flag attack of some kind.
Right.
We use the character in the movie, the firefighter character, Martin Sheen. He's the only composite character, but we use him as the official spokesperson that was told by the fire department right after 9/11, you go out there and you tell them the truth, but you don't say anything about there being explosions, which we in the movement all realize there are 118 firefighters who swore on their oral histories that they heard and saw explosions before and during the collapses. That didn't come out during the time of the 9/11 commission reports. It was kept under secret. There was the New York Times that had a sue in New York to get the Supreme Court to open them up in 2006, but they had the rest of those oral histories and used for other things. They just ignored the explosions and the official reports.
Yeah, it's all needs to come out. There's so much there when you just look below the surface a little bit. And I hope some of the listeners who haven't done that already will do that. And, you know, I really want to thank you for what you're doing because, you know, it's been 10 years now and there's been a lot of books and movies. And I always get to a point where I say, well, God, what can we do next? It's almost like, is this going to run out of steam? And then I read about something great and a great idea that somebody has, like the Toronto hearings did it for me last year. And now you're doing this, and I think this could be really fantastic. So I really want to thank you for having the idea and putting the time into it and getting all those people to be involved in it. That's really fantastic.
Well, it's my pleasure. It's a labor of love, so thank you for recognizing it. But, you know, one of the important things is that people understand that they shouldn't have expectations of all of a sudden something is going to happen. I mean, a deathbed confession by somebody might not even make the truth come out. There are very powerful forces behind whatever happened on 9/11. And
right.
People want to hang Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld. You know, they're only puppets, too. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And the powers that be are not going to, they're going to do everything they can to keep this a secret. So we're up against
it. Look, they've kept a lot of secrets over the years. They kept Pearl Harbor a secret. I met with Gore Vidal, whose father actually worked for President Roosevelt at a time when they were planning on how they were going to get into World War II. You probably have heard the story that there were codes that were broken, that there was notice that there was ships on the way, and 3,000 people were sacrificed to get us into World War II. 50,000 people have died in Vietnam because of the Tonkin Gulf. We've had the President Kennedy, the Senator Kennedy, the Reverend King. I mean, there's been a lot of what they call state, I'm trying to think of the
state
expression.
State crimes against democracy?
State crimes against democracy that have been done in this country, and they just keep, it's a river, they just keep flowing, and they just keep throwing more garbage in every few years. Now it's become so overt because they've gotten away with 9/11, they're not as afraid to do things as openly as they are doing them now. They're accelerating, whoever they are. The movement toward I hate to use the expression new world order, but an order of the world that's basically militarized, that's controlled by a group of countries on the surface, but some other forces behind it.
Right.
Forces, I mean corporate and financial. I'm not getting into groups like Illuminati or stuff like that. I'm just talking about the stuff you can touch that's really running things.
The powerful people behind the scenes, right? Well, I want to thank you for being on the show, and maybe you could give the website again where people could go.
Actors and Artists for 9/11truth.com. If they can't get it by spelling all that out, then just Google it and it'll come up, because I'm not sure exactly what the URL is. Anyway, they can find it. Simply just Google Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth, and you'll see who's involved in our group and what kind of things we do and what we're doing with the movie. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're all in this together.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
You've just been listening to an interview with Howard Cohen, Executive Director of Actors and Artists for 9/11 Truth, discussing his upcoming movie called Confession of a 9/11 Conspirator, which, as you heard, has a star-filled cast of characters, including Ed Asner, Martin Sheen, Woody Harrelson, John Hurd, and Michelle Phillips, to name just a few. To learn more about the film and how you can get a copy when it's done, the website again is actorsandartistsfor911truth.com. You can also see the complete list of actors and artists who support a new investigation into the world-altering events of 9/11. I encourage you to check it out. And for those listeners who'd like to do a little research on 9/11, you can go to the website ae911truth.org. And that's the website for the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And you can find links there to go to other websites. If you're a real beginner, the website 911truth.org also has some good information there. And you can also read any of David Ray Griffin's 10 books on the subject. 9/11 Wake Up Call airs on WWUH 91.3 FM on Wednesdays at 12 noon and on WESU 88.1 FM on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. To hear previous editions of 9/11 Wake Up Call, the more recent ones can be accessed at radioforall.net, and that's the digit for radioforall.net. And my earlier shows can be found at the very informative website ct911truth.org. This concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.